Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with MedTech leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or Deezer. Today, our guest is Eduardo Valencia, founder of Parque Pharma, an almost 20-year-old company in Mexico focused on the design, construction, and operation of facilities dedicated to the manufacturing of drugs, medical devices, cosmetics, and other medical products. Eduardo, it's great to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Julio. It is a real pleasure to be able to talk to you and to your great audience.
Awesome, Eduardo. All right, so let's get started in this beautiful afternoon talking about your journey to where you are today. I'm sure you have a fascinating story, and you are based in Mexico, and you have over, 30, 40 years of experience in this industry, building plants and manufacturing facilities. So tell us about it, please.
Great. Well, I am a civil engineer by the National University of Mexico City, and I started building back in 1981, and I founded my own construction company, and we have built up to now in more than 37 years of experience, more than 300 projects successfully. And back in 1996, we decided as a strategic decision to go into the pharmaceutical industry as a design build company. So we really applied to learning the language of pharma and learning the secrets of designing and building pharmaceutical facilities. And we had the opportunity to design and build a number of facilities in Mexico, mostly in Mexico City, for multinational companies. And that was between 1996 and 2002. And we also had the opportunity to learn about to have a deep knowledge about the industry in Mexico. And we learned that there was not a real estate market for that could offer facilities for sale and much less for lease. So back in 2003, we created Grupo Inmobiliario Pharma, which is our company too, and our brand name is Parque Pharma. And so we built this project in Toluca, which is less than an hour from Mexico City, and a very industrious city with a lot of pharma companies in there. We built this multi-tenant project focused into offering this up to then non-existent real estate market for life sciences projects. So that's how we got here. And we have had a very interesting combination of tenants up to now from Europe, an Italian company from US. We rented a mini facility for Pfizer for 9 years. And we have also Latin American important companies as tenants. So that's our background. That's our journey up to now.
Excellent, excellent. Beautiful journey because you found a niche, right? And you have excel apparently in that niche. Is there any other company doing the same thing or similar thing? Or are you the only one?
No, in fact, we are the only one in Mexico.
Wow.
And for a number of years, we tried to find companies doing the same or similar things internationally. And just last year, we were able to learn about a couple of companies doing something very, very similar in the U.S., one in Massachusetts, and I guess the other one is in the San Diego area. And then in these last few weeks, we have learned about a company in Spain that is finishing the first phase, the first construction phase of a project that basically will be offering the same the same value proposition that Parque Pharma is doing and is consolidating as we speak in Mexico.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Eduardo, let's talk about trends. What's happening in Mexico that in terms of social matters, economic disease matters? Why is it that companies are going to Mexico to set up a shop in the country? Because I usually hear about Tijuana, but not Mexico City, not that area. So what's happening there? What are the trends relevant to our discussion?
There are many important factors, most of them very widely known and understood. One is Mexico is a large country in terms of population, more than 125 million people currently. And we are not a rich country, but we are struggling to be a part of a community of countries that can take most of or can reduce the poverty level of most of the population. An important thing is that we are neighbor to the U.S. and we are part of this great market with the U.S. and Canada, which is an economic bloc that not the most important, but it's among the most important blocks in the world. And that is very important, the proximity and the Mexico has, of course, this alliance, this trade association with the U.S. and Canada. It's been for more than first signed in 1994.
Yeah, NAFTA.
NAFTA, and now it's not NAFTA. It's
Something else. Something,
it has been upgraded.
Renamed it and upgraded. Yeah, and modernized the treaty. Yeah,
right. And it's important, very important, because we are now entering, or we are now in this phase where China, Asia, but mostly China, is striving to become leaders in a lot of areas. And of course, you have these two titans, no? The U.S. and China, the U.S. to maintain its supremacy, and China is trying to chip away some of
exactly.
those
And they
areas.
Want to take over the world, probably by the end of the decade. Yeah.
And something very interesting, and we have seen it in a very sharp way during the pandemic, is logistics. No? And logistics have this supply chain has been somehow disrupted because of the pandemic consequences, and it has been stressed. And we were talking recently about nearshoring, which is a new term. Maybe 20 or 25 years ago, the term offshoring was begun to be used. And now we're talking about nearshoring, which basically means bringing manufacturing to the Americas in order to kind of defend ourselves, our economies. Yes.
Not rely on China for manufacturing. Yeah, and to have friendly countries be our manufacturing partners. I mean, from the United States perspective.
Right. And, well, those are trends, very important trends. Population is a trend. The aging of the population is a very important trend in terms of healthcare, because Mexico is not doesn't have still a problem as acute as Japan in terms of population, the average age of the population, but we're not a very young population anymore. We're going there. And because of a lot of things like genetics habits, eating habits, and what have you, we have very important chronic diseases in our population. Diabetes, cardiovascular.
Mexico is one of the top countries in the world, probably the number one in diabetes, right?
Yeah, we have that honor to be the number one in overweight people. And of course, with that comes metabolic diseases.
Wow, tacos are too good. I mean, how can you resist eating a taco on the street? Birria and all that. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah, pastor, tacos, tortas.
Tortas.
And tamales.
Tamales.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So we have those realities. And of course, it doesn't mean that we're out of the forest in terms of infectious diseases, communicable diseases. We have those, but then we have cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular, and all those kind of new diseases of this new society.
Of the middle class, the growing Americanized middle class.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we being so close to the U.S., we have been importing and
lifestyles.
Yeah, lifestyles. And sometimes it has not been the best decision because we have different genomics in some way. So those are in trends that are important in the health, in life sciences for Mexico and healthcare specifically for Mexico. We have a regulatory agency which has worked pretty hard in the last two decades to be recognized as a good player.
Yeah, level four, yeah.
Right, and that is good. We, because of that, the landscape of pharma facilities in our country has somehow changed. And also the generics drugs have made a huge impact in our country. And we are now experiencing the first phase of biotech going into medical, into therapies and medical devices and what have you in Mexico. We're still lagging in regards to rich countries. But what is a reality is that Mexico has very high levels of talent. We have a lot of talented people in those areas. And what we need to do is create, what we're lacking is the infrastructure for these new drugs, these new processes, fermentation and all those processes, because now it's not the APIs that that matter. It's the let's say, natural ingredients are produced or manufactured by the bacteria.
Hmm. Interesting. So most of your clients or your tenants, if I'm using the right word, are companies, foreign companies that are looking to manufacture in Mexico for the local market or looking to manufacture in Mexico to export to United States or other markets or a combination of both. Can you describe that?
Yes, sure. It's very interesting. Parque Pharma offers these compliant, totally compliant facilities for drug manufacturing. In Mexico, our regulatory agency, which is COFEPRIS, makes you, if you want to register your product and under your name, in order to commercialize it in Mexico, you basically need either to have a factory in one of those countries that Mexico recognizes as equals, or you need to have a licensed and certified facility in Mexico. And that facility also has to have what we call a sanitary license and also has to have a certification of GMPs. So we are very strongly focused on providing facilities, very compact facilities, totally compliant with this sanitary license and with GMPs to foreign companies that want to enter for the first time the Mexican market, but that maybe do not want to go into the manufacturing process right away and would rather, as a first phase, import their drugs, their products.
And repackage or something locally.
Hmm. Right. And then what they do want, they're very specific about being able to register their products under their name. And that's where we come in, because as we said in the beginning, in Mexico, there is no real estate market for pharma or medical devices facilities. You cannot go out and, you know, go visit a number of facilities that are for sale or that are open for rent. So the alternative would be to go and build, do the whole enchilada by yourself, which is very, very complex, can take you from 3 to 5 years sometimes, is very expensive, it is very complex in terms of being able to hire the right companies, the right consultants, and maybe in 4 years you succeed, or maybe you don't succeed because you had a number of compliance or whatever problems, and you have invested a lot of money, taking great risks, and you also have the opportunity cost of not being able to go into the market as soon as possible, as fast as possible. So what we do is reduce dramatically the lead time of those solutions and add certainty, trust to the services. And besides the facilities itself, we offer a number of expert and strategic services that always accompany the manufacturing or the pharmaceutical businesses. For example, regulatory consultancies, legal, marketing, commercializing services, and we do that acting a lot as when you go to a 5 or 6 or 7 star hotel and you go to the concierge, because you know that he or she will be able to answer all your questions. A concept that we like a lot. We are a one-stop shop, and like I was saying, we basically strive to offer the whole enchilada.
Enchilada. Wow, Eduardo, this is really fascinating. I never heard about a concept like this. So if I understand this correctly, allow me to summarize. So if a company, if a Chinese company, for example, doesn't have CE mark approval, FDA approval, or, you know, reference country approval, then they have to set up a local entity in Mexico or set up a facility in Mexico so that they can have control over their COFEPRIS registration. Otherwise, they have to rely on third parties like registration holders and things of that nature. Is that correct?
Basically, either you have your license and you own your registries and they are under your name, or you will have the alternative to go to a third party that has a facility, a licensed facility, and you have to sign what we call a hosting contract.
Yes, hosting contract.
Okay. And the problem is that the hosting concept is not a nice one for either party. It's very interesting, but it's nobody enjoys it because it's like a uncomfortable marriage that none of them would have chosen to go into that relationship if there were a good alternative. For example, we started a LinkedIn campaign some 3 weeks ago. And surprisingly, our first leads are coming from India.
India, okay.
Right.
Generic, I guess.
Yeah, somebody would say that makes no sense. But it does, if you remember what we talked about earlier on about the disruption of the supply chain. They might have the greatest volume capacity and the best prices or costs, but they are so far away that they're thinking not only of coming and selling their products, they are now thinking about setting shop.
Wow, this is really an interesting development. I didn't know this, but I'm glad that Indian companies are thinking about that, because we need that in Latin America. Going back to the issue of nearshoring, that's what Latin America is looking for. And there's something that we didn't mention when we were talking about trends, Eduardo, which is a few Latin American countries at least the four most forward-looking countries, which in my opinion and in the opinion of experts, and that's why we have the Pacific Alliance, Mexico, Colombia, Peru, and Chile. These four countries are really, really looking at the future, and they are looking to diversify their export base. I mean, exporting coffee and soccer players and bananas and avocados is not gonna cut it. It's not gonna cut it in the future.
It's not going to do the trick.
Exactly, it's not gonna do the trick. You have to export knowledge. You have to export sophisticated services and products, and this is where nearshoring comes in. Because if you bring pharmaceutical, medical device companies, biotechnology companies to a country like Mexico, then it's just the beginning of an ecosystem that will eventually create more jobs, high-paying jobs, bring more knowledge to the area, diversify the economy, et cetera, et cetera. Look at what Mexico did with Tijuana. Look at what Costa Rica, such a small country, did. And Costa Rica is now one of the stars in Latin America in terms of exporting medical devices. They have such an immense number of plants, sophisticated plants, Medtronic, Boston Scientific, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, a lot of these companies manufacture in Mexico and Costa Rica.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we're also looking to position Parque Pharma as a very important player in the clinical trials part or phases of the development of new drugs. We have been present in these clinical trials called multi-center clinical trials for the COVID vaccines, some of the COVID vaccines. And that happens to be because the Mexican population, which is a very diverse in terms of genomics, ethnic groups, make it very interesting to do clinical trials here in relation to the Hispanic population in the U.S. So that is only going to grow. And what we need is to have what we would basically be doing as Parque Pharma is providing the certified facilities that would support that part of the clinical trials processes. So that's very interesting. As I was saying, the biotech companies, either the ones that are being created and being developed in Mexico, and also biotech companies from abroad, not very early startups, but we are pretty sure, because it makes sense, that some of these startups, which are into the acceleration phase, would be very interested in having a foothold in Mexico in order to not only reach the Mexican market, but be able to reach the Latin American.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, especially now with the Pacific Alliance and more countries that want to join the Pacific Alliance. I just read a few months ago that Costa Rica just became an OECD member and it will become part of the Pacific Alliance and Panama as well, etc. So, Eduardo, I'm impressed with what you're doing. I mean, you have taken your real estate business, have sophisticated the concept, the value proposition so much that you're a combination of a regulatory affair consulting company with a contract research organization. I mean, you have many avenues or many ways to help foreign companies to set up a shop in Mexico.
Right. And the center still is a real estate working on a very specific niche, which is life sciences. And of course, we have many layers around us, which are not basically operated vertically by us, but are operated by many experts that we have been working with for many years.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I'd like to point out that what you're doing is something that many other countries in Latin America are doing, specifically Colombia. I was just attending a meeting, a virtual meeting with the ambassador of Colombia in India, the Ministry of Industry and Commerce of Colombia, ProColombia, which is the export promoting agency of the country. And it's very obvious that Colombia is betting on nearshoring to bring medical device and pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies to set up a shop in Colombia. So your example is something that can be replicated in many other countries in Latin America, specifically in Colombia, for the benefit of all of us, of our economies. And I applaud your initiative and your spirit of an entrepreneur. I mean, to come up with all these ideas.
Yeah, without any doubt, we forecast a very strong, maybe not very rapid, but very strong growth of this concept, in which now it's located in Toluca, but we're pretty sure we'll be setting shop in Guadalajara, which is a very important pharmaceutical city, and then maybe Monterrey, and of course Tijuana. Tijuana is basically a medical device pole, but I'm pretty sure that it might also have a lot of potential for manufacturing.
Absolutely. So the last question I have, Eduardo, before we end the episode today, is the government. Is the government helping you with what you're doing? Because in a sense, you're bringing foreign investment to Mexico with your LinkedIn campaigns, with your private initiatives. So is the government somehow supporting your work or not?
Well, let me be frank. It's not helping us as much as we would like, but we are having conversations with the CONACYT, which is like the National Health Institutes of the U.S. CONACYT supports the science and the technological development in Mexico federally. We are talking to them. We are talking to the Pharmaceutical Chamber, National Chamber of Companies, and we're basically trying to convince them that it's very important for Mexico to create some public policies that will really strengthen the business ecosystem around life sciences. We're not the solution for everything. We are an important player, but we can help assemble some of these ecosystem players. So we basically hope to be able to convince them, and also to convince COFEPRIS not to give us a carte blanche, but to support the effort that we're doing in creating certified facilities that will help bring many more good players into our country and be able to create more competition, to lower prices, make them more accessible, and create a much more diverse menu of drugs.
Options for patients. Yeah. At the end, that's really the ultimate goal. I mean, it benefits patients.
Right.
So one quick question before we end here, and it is in regards to the government of López Obrador. I heard or I read somewhere that he eliminated the Export and Investment Promoting Agency of Mexico right after he took up power. Is that right?
Yes, it was called ProMexico.
Yes, ProMexico, yes.
In fact, ProMexico was very important in bringing Parque Pharma, our first client.
Wow.
From Italy. I have to recognize that. Yes, they basically erased ProMexico. Yeah, we're not very happy about that, but we do understand that maybe it had been, it was an agency that had become very fat, very, kind of very, very expensive. Those things sometimes happen, but yeah, we are happy to be so close to Canada and the U.S. so that we don't have nightmares in Mexico. But yes, we are in the middle of this government. It's in its third year, and we still have 3 more years to go.
3 more years? It's 6 years. Wow.
Yeah, we are a 6 year.
I don't think you like that much, right?
Well, we... what we like to do is be in our trenches and work as hard as possible. And the government is a very important, but I have also learned by looking at countries like the US, Canada, and others, that government is not everything. Governments come and go. Most importantly, it's the people. And we have a very good people in terms of companies, entrepreneurs, talent, scientists. So we have to work with that. And we are doing that and we are making progress.
All right. So Eduardo, before we close the episode today, what would be your final words of wisdom? I mean, if you had something to say, if you have 1 minute to give advice to the CEO of a medical device or pharmaceutical biotechnology company from the US or Europe that is just looking at Latin America, specifically Mexico, to enter the market, what would you say to him or her?
Well, Mexico is a great country. It is a great market. It is the best platform for Latin America. If you're interested in doing business in medical devices or in pharmaceuticals in Latin America, Mexico is your choice, and Parque Pharma is the right place. It's a one-stop shop to be able to do a soft landing in a complex landscape, both regulatory, market-wise and legal-wise. So we're here more than happy. We'll be more than happy to talk and to understand the special needs, requirements, fears, and everything from every single company in order to be able to help them and accompany them and try to make them as successful as possible.
Excellent. Excellent, Eduardo. All right. So, Eduardo, thank you so much for being on the show today. How can people get in contact with you? Is it a website, an email, or something?
Yes, we have a LinkedIn site. It's Parque Pharma, Pharma with a PH. We have a we have our page, which is parquepharma.com. And you can reach us there and let us know what your plans are, and we will get in touch immediately and talk it over and find the right and best solution for you, if we can.
Absolutely. I'm sure you will be able to. All right, Eduardo, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time, and I really enjoy your wisdom and your experience, and I enjoy our conversation today. I'm sure listeners did as well.
Thank you very much for the invitation, and we'll be looking forward to having another one in the future.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.